Yeah, you know what? First of all, it's very flattering to go there, but I don't take it personally. I take it more like the hard work of our group, of our players. And
it was good last year. Yeah, I think the reaction was good. I think the response was good from other guys, and hopefully can keep building off of it.
Yeah, obviously it starts from the top, and implementing a system, and then it comes down to us and doing what we're told and listening to what we're supposed to do. So obviously we're trying to achieve the same goal together, whether that's starts even with up at the top with the management and the owner, and it kind of trickles all the way down.
He certainly helped me to be a better coach. You know, honestly, that's the way it is. You know, he's a true leader. Just by his presence, the way that he's approached the game, the way that the game means, it's a business for him. And he makes people around him better. And there's no doubt it's been a really good addition for us.
For sure, I'm sure it'll be a good weekend for him. It's always fun to have your team, members of your team be represented as well.
Welcome back. It's hour number 3, Melnick in the afternoon on game night on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Michel Therrien, speaking for the first time since being named to the All-Star game. And then Shea Weber on the new format, still relatively new format, and on Michel Therrien, and Carey Price on Michel Therrien as well. Therrien, Weber, Price not starting in Winnipeg tonight. Puck drop a little after 7:30.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwood's Bab Sandwich. Ham and pepperoni dressed like you like it. Now only $7 for a large at Dagwood's.
In St. Louis for the return of David Backes last night, which we'll get to shortly. He's in Washington tonight, hoping to see Alex Ovechkin reach the 1,000-point mark. How you doing, Pierre?
Excellent. Mitch, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Well, there you have it. I thought I'd throw something your way. Shea Weber talking about liking the new All-Star game format.
He's bringing you aboard, isn't he?
Yeah.
It was good. I'm just telling you, last year was very good. It was a lot of fun. It was very good. The players really enjoyed it. The fans enjoyed it. Now, it was Nashville. It's a hard place not to like. I still think Los Angeles has got to do a lot of heavy lifting to get to the levels that Nashville was at, but I do believe if there's one town in the United States that can do it, it would be Los Angeles, especially with the influence that the Antunes family has had on the sporting culture in Los Angeles, and also the success that the Kings have had. So it's a pretty good situation they have built there at LA Live. It'll be interesting to see if they can match what Nashville did. That'll be really tough.
I would imagine there'd be a pretty significant Vegas representation one way or the other, considering the proximity.
I would hope. I mean, George McPhee's a really smart guy, the general manager there, and I would hope that they would have a presence there. It'd be wise of them to have a presence there. Eventually, you have to think at some point they're going to have an NHL All-Star game in Las Vegas. When that is, I don't know, but you got to think at some point they will. So it'd be wise to have a presence there.
At the very least, amongst the players, is there a little bit of negotiations going on, or at least saying, hey, maybe you should think about signing with us in the offseason? That must happen.
Sometimes. I've seen that happen, absolutely. The problem you have with a lot of these things is salary cap issues. Players don't know where they're going to be from year to year because it's such a fluid league with trades and everything else, Rod. But that used to happen probably a little bit more than it does now.
Well, you know what? I know that this is a team that is going to compete really hard. It's going to be a physical game, and they don't change their style. It's going to be a hard-nosed game, and we're ready for that type of matchup.
Well, they're always a determined team. They always play with a lot of speed. They're always really quick. So, we're focusing on ourselves. We have a great deal of respect for what those guys bring to the table, but ultimately we're trying to stay on our game.
Blake Wheeler on the Habs, Michel Therrien on the Jets. It's an earlier than normal start in Winnipeg, 7:30 hour time puck drop, as I mentioned. Pierre, obviously a lot of fans feel a little cheated not being able to see Patrick Laine. Some of us feel cheated not being able to see you last night. We'll get to that in a second. What's going on with the Jets, other than a lot of injuries?
They're up and down. They really are. They're a yo-yo right now, and they're probably the most consistent players, Mark Scheifele. Nikolaj Ehlers, by the way, has had a really solid year for them. He's played extremely well. The young man that played so well with Nathan MacKinnon. and Jonathan Drouin out in Halifax in the Quebec Major Junior League. He's been really solid. Wheeler's what Wheeler is. He's just a big guy who can really skate, and he's obviously a pure goal scorer. But I think they've just had so much fluctuation in goal, whether it be Hellebuck or Hutchison. Either one of those guys has never really been as good as he needs to be, even though I think the future for Hellebuck is really, really solid. They're hit and miss right now. That's probably their biggest thing that I could say about them. And they've got to be more of a hit than a miss if they're going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference.
Who do you see? Do you see them making any kind of significant move?
They have more than enough talent to make a move. Kevin Cheveldayoff, their general manager, has really done a good job with their scouting stuff of having young pieces that they can put into play, whether it's on their roster or to trade. The problem is, I don't know how easy he is to deal with in terms of trades. They might overvalue their players just a tinge, which a lot of teams do. It's not just Kevin. I think it's a lot of teams do that. And he's a first-time general manager. But, I don't know just what direction they want to go in. Obviously, they took a big step by getting Jacob Trouba signed. There were a lot of rumors that Jacob was going to get traded away when he had the contract impasse. They were able to get him signed. I thought that was smart by them. He's a very good player. But one of the things I can tell you, Mitch, when you watch them play tonight, watch 33, watch Dustin Byfuglien. When he's on his game, he makes a gigantic difference. But when he starts to freelance and stray from the game plan, he really hurts their team because he plays so darn much for them. If he plays within the confines of the game plan, he's really good. And on the nights that they win, more times than not, that's what he's doing. But when they lose, he strays from the game plan.
Dustin Byfuglien averages about 27 and a half minutes a game. I think Ryan Suter is there, and that's it in the league in terms of time on ice.
Yeah, and they're trying to drop Suter's minutes. I personally think Suter is right, and I told you this the other day, Suter and Weber and Brent Burns are three guys that I would have in the Norris Trophy discussion right now. They're all three of them are having tremendous years.
Pierre, I really get the feeling that Winnipeg spends way too much time without the puck. They don't win a lot of faceoffs. And another thing, they try to at times play this heavy game. They take way too many penalties. Third most minor penalties this year. They were top three last year. 2 years ago, they led the league. So that's been a constant problem.
Yeah, there's no question. But again, Montreal doesn't go out there a lot to play regular season games. It is an unbelievably loud building when the fans are into it. And the fans can really get their players off their game, sometimes in a positive way, but sometimes in a negative way. That's the problem, is the players there, I think, get overhyped on home ice sometimes, and they start running around. I watched them play a game with Los Angeles earlier this year, and I was like, what are they doing? They had they were totally in charge of the game. Then they started running around taking penalties. I was like, wow, calm down, play smart. So I don't know if it's just a byproduct of them wanting to please their fans or them just making misreads and just being a little bit out of control.
So, Pierre, obviously it's disappointing for us that we don't get to see Patrick Laine in this matchup between the Jets and Canadiens. And I'm just wondering, after seeing the blow that he suffered on Saturday to get that concussion, do you think Laine is one of those players that he plays a game that is where he puts himself in position to get concussed a little bit more often, or do you think this is one of those one-off type of plays?
Yeah, that's a one-off. You would never tell Jake McCabe, the player that hit him, to play it any different, by the way. That was a clean-hard hit, and that's how Jake McCabe plays. Taylor Hall, just to put into reference what you're talking about, Taylor Hall used to play the same way. Glenn Anderson used to play the same way. Fearless guys with a lot of power and speed, and they put themselves in very difficult positions because they do have that speed and they do have that power. He'll make the adjustment. I don't think it'll be a long-term problem for him.
And, Pierre, just also before you were mentioning Connor Hellebuck and that you think he has a very bright future with the Jets and that it's been their biggest problem has been goaltending. Has what you've seen with the most recent stretch from Hellebuck been more so what they're going to see down the stretch? Because he's coming off a shutout in his last game, and it seems like he's turned things around a little bit.
Well, it's a little early to say he's turned it around, but I can tell you, I know his body of work from UMass Lowell. He was a big-time prospect coming out of school. I personally think he's going to be very good. But, again, it takes a little bit longer for some goalies than others. And they play, like I said, when they're on their game plan, they're really solid. But when they stray from the plan, it becomes a tough game for the goalies there to play. It really does.
Habs and Jets tonight. Again, normally it's 8:30 our time, but it's an early start. 7:30 face-off time with Dan Robertson and Sergio Mameso. Thomas Mekanics has the flu. They won't know for sure if he's playing tonight or not until they show up at the rink, I suppose. And just to drive home the point, they haven't been without Plekanec before, but you know what the injury situation has been with the Canadiens. And we started with the clip of Therrien speaking for the first time since getting that All-Star nod. When you look at them on paper, Pierre, which is what you do, and everybody who does what you do this before every game. And I know they still have some really good players, but are you shaking your head the how competitive they managed to remain when you have Deneau and Flynn and Mitchell and McCarron down the middle here every night?
Well, okay, I'm going to share this with you. I think we're all a little bit amazed at the consistency that the Canes have shown. That being said, I think you know I was the one pushing Philip Deneau right from the start when all these injuries happened. I'm not surprised by him at all. I think Mark Bergevin deserves a ton of credit on the Radulov signing. He's been really good for them. Max Pacioretty, after a terrible start, he's back to being Max Pacioretty. So, I mean, there's some good components here. And the players play with confidence because no matter whether it's Al Montoya or Carey Price, they know they're getting goaltending. So it's a huge, you know, factor when you have that kind of consistency in goal. Guys can go out there and really try to push the pace, which is what Montreal does. But to be perfectly fair, I think most people around the league are surprised with all the injuries that they've been as consistent as they are.
Here's a little bit more on Montoya starting tonight from Mark Barberio.
He's always a positive guy to be around. He's a funny guy, likes to joke around, and he's mentally, he's always ready to go. When he stepped in, he's done a great job for us, and we have confidence with whoever's in nets that the job can get done.
So there's another glimpse into something that the fans don't really have access to is the personality of a guy like Al Montoya, who's been around. He's also not, you know, most goalies are very vocal. Some aren't, but Al Montoya is definitely vocal during the game. You can hear him even watching the game.
Turning point in his life and his career took place on a rink in Helsinki, Finland in 2004. He's a starting goalie for the first American team to ever win a gold medal at the World Junior. And he had some really good players in that team, whether it was Zach Parise or whether it was Ryan Kessler, whether it was Ryan Suter, whether it was Mark Stewart. Didn't matter. They had really good players in that team. They beat Canada in the gold medal game. And you could see that kid just surge from there. That really helped him in his career. And I think you look at, you always try to trace moments where guys really turn the corner. I think that helped him a ton.
Yeah, he's been very good for us. He's an awesome guy. You know, he's a veteran guy. It's nice to have a guy who's got some experience in the league and knows the ins and outs of everyday life. And, you know, he's a guy we can rely on at any moment to go in there and do a job for us.
All right, there's Carey Price, who will get the start tomorrow in Minnesota against Devan Dubnyk. Just one more before I hand it over to Rod again for a second. What did you know of Paul Byron when he started
a
career?
Did you think
he'd be what we are seeing now? We're going to find out over the next 40 games if he stays healthy, if he's a 20 goal scorer or not. Did you think he could be a 20 goal scorer?
I always thought 15 to 20 because of his speed. Mm-hmm. And this is one, and I remember when he came over from Calgary. This was insider trading. This is Larry Carrier knowing him from Buffalo. And Larry obviously moving up. But this was total insider trading. Good on the Canadiens. And Trevor Timmins, too, who would have watched the play a ton in Gatineau. But this was clearly a player they knew. They knew the character. They knew the speed. They knew the skill. They knew he wasn't overly large like everybody else. And that's what everybody talks about. Not really big. But Montreal knew more. They knew about the character. They knew about the heart. They knew about the work habits. They knew about the pride. And that's why I tell people all the time. I told this to Jeff Molson. You got to make sure you have scouts that are experts in their own area. So don't have guys crisscrossing on airplanes flying all over the world evaluating players. Make sure, guys, if you're the Ottawa scout, you're the Ottawa scout. If you're the Saskatoon scout and the Saskatchewan scout, you know all the players better than anybody else. And that's what you have to do. And the Canadiens clearly knew this player better than most people. And I credit to Larry Carrier and Trevor Timmins in particular.
When it comes to planning for injuries, I know you want to give yourself as much depth as possible. I mean, every general manager is going to want to do that. The Canadiens have now used 30 skaters, the most in the league, tied with a couple other teams, including Nashville. I guess you can't really come up with a number of skaters that you plan to use over a season, but what's the best way to get ready for injury situations if you can plan?
Well, you're always in communication with your minor league coach, and you make sure your minor league coach is pushing guys. One of the first things that has to happen when you're in the American Hockey League in particular is you make sure the guys, and I think it was Carey Price talking about being a professional before, you make sure guys understand, especially young guys, every day they come to the rink is a work day. It's part of your job. It may be mundane. It may be tough. Sometimes it may be really grueling, and it may not be the place you want to be. But you make sure guys understand that's part of your commitment to getting better. And that's the number one thing I would tell any team trying to put together a group that might have injuries or you're trying to build from within. Make sure your guys in the minors know every day that they're going to work for a reason and that they're being evaluated every single day, not just in games, but in practice too, because that's the only way those guys have a chance of getting better to make it to the National Hockey League.
I just want to go back to Byron for a second because he was drafted, as Pierre pointed out, Larry Carrière and the Sabres drafted him. He was drafted in the sixth round, 179th overall. I don't know. I don't know how many guys are left in the NHL who were drafted below him. It can't be more than a couple. But
hey, now I'm gonna blow you away.
Yeah.
Somebody
else is blowing us away.
Yeah. I'm sitting on the bench in Washington, so I'm sitting here flying blind. Check out when Dustin Byfuglien was drafted. Check out when Joe Pavelski, I know right off the top of my head, 205th in his draft year. Joe Pavelski was 205th in the 2003 draft. Come on, think about that. That's craziness. He was at University of Wisconsin playing for Waterloo Blackhawks before that. He was in high-profile situations. Just unbelievable. But look at Dustin Byfuglien. Rod, where was he drafted?
Times
200
of,
and something.
Well, you, as Rod checks, it's just a different era, right? If you were small and slight, then now,
well,
you know, fast forward.
No.
Well, for the most part. I mean, unless you're
a
star
right.
caliber.
No, but you're here. Yes, you're bang on. But here's the one thing.
Ten years later, right, Pierre, those guys are now getting drafted higher.
Yes, they are, because there's one thing that happened in 2005 in the offseason during the nuclear winter. What happened? The rules changed. And why did the rules change? Because they wanted more speed and skill in the game. What's the number one thing they did to really change that?
Hooking.
The red line came out.
Well, those hooking penalties. Just tap
the
a guy.
Red
tap
line.
A guy.
The red line.
No, tap a guy. Tap a guy with your stick in the midsection. You're off 2 minutes for hooking.
Right, but the red line came out so that people couldn't set up the picket fence and play the 1-2-2 trap like Jacques Lemaire used to do in New Jersey. You know, I mean, I did it too. Everybody did it. That you could play the boundary, the red line being the boundary, so you didn't see explosive breakaway opportunities very often unless a guy was coming out of the penalty box and there was a little bit of good fortune. It just was a totally different game. So once you took the red line out, oh my gosh, it changed everything. Everything, and that's what allowed some of these, like Johnny Gaudreau. Do you think if the red line was in, Johnny Gaudreau would be one of the most dominant offensive forces in the game? Not a chance.
Yeah, not a chance. All right, how about Dustin Byfuglien? Where was he?
245.
245.
There you go. Thank you.
And that's the complete opposite, though. He's right. Just a guy who...
For 10 seasons and over 700 games, we were honored to have David Backus wear the blue note with pride. David, you represented this team and our fans with your loyalty, dedication, and commitment to the Blues organization, and also through the work that you and your wife, Kelly, gave to the city of St. Louis. Thank you for all of your contributions. Number 42, David Backus!
It's the Toronto. Bruins keep it alive. This is Torey Krug. He shoots and scores! Second power play goal for the Bruins. Nothing, Boston.
Well, the Bacardi RoboCam is going to show you the shot and the goal, but you're not going to hear Torey Krug yell, yeah, yeah, yeah. He comes off the bench.
Yeah, a lot of us thought we were going to get to see you and Kenny Albert, but we got the Nesson guys instead, so we didn't get to see your broadcast. But once again, David Backus returns, takes 17 minutes in penalties, which you'll explain why. And the St. Louis Blues need a goalie again.
Well, they do. They definitely need some goaltending help. Jake was really rough last night. Carter Hutton actually played really well. He kept that game close. The backup goalie who got to play after the first 20 minutes. Backus got 17 minutes in penalties because there was a collision in the St. Louis Blues goal crease with David Krejci, who got injured. Joel Edmondson was one of the players, and Backus and Edmondson were basically jawboning the whole game, and then Backus challenged Edmondson to a fight, and Edmondson and Backus went at it. It was good. It was good old-fashioned hockey. David played a great game. Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand were fantastic for Boston. Bruins lost Adam McQuaid early in that game. So they were playing with five defensemen for a good portion of the night, and there are other times in the game that they were playing with four defensemen because of another injury to Colin Miller. So the Bruins showed a lot of heart, a lot of soul, and a lot of good coaching from Claude Julien. So it was a fun. I personally enjoy doing games in St. Louis. St. Louis, I think, had their minds on moving out west because they're playing their next three games in California. They were not engaged from the start of that game.
And in response to our question to you on the same subject yesterday, Bob McKenzie with Tony Marinaro in for Connor McKenna and the boys this morning.
I guess I'm probably going Crosby. I might go McDavid at two. And I might go either Kane or Malkin at three.
Yeah, instead of Auston Matthews. And Pierre believes that when the season is ending, Auston Matthews, assuming good health, could be a finalist for the Hart. Is that what you're saying?
No. You were asking me who is playing as well as anybody in the league right now. And
okay.
I was telling
so you're not letting Matthews. You're not letting me put words in your mouth.
No, that's right. And thank goodness I stood up for myself. No, I think right now Austin's playing as well as most players in the league. Kane's playing great right now. He's really starting to percolate. Panarin's starting to percolate. Marchand's really starting to go now for Boston. But if you look at Washington, look at what Kuznetsov's done the last four games. You know, they've won six in a row, Washington. Look at what Backstrom's done in the last four games. So, I mean, there are a lot of different players that are starting to heat up at the right time for their respective teams. But I think Matthews... way under. I know everybody talks about how great he is, but I'm just telling you, the guy's playing really, really well. Really well.
What a Wednesday night rivalry matchup. Pittsburgh and Washington with Ovechkin sitting on .999.
Yeah, and one team winning five in a row, Pittsburgh, and the other team winning six in a row, Washington. And they obviously dislike one another tremendously. It should be a fun night here in Washington. Very fun. And plus, they're gearing up for the inauguration here, Mitch. So it's kind of a funky town right now, Washington.
Oh, Pierre, you've opened the door for me way too wide. Way too wide.
This president-elect is going to come to hockey games.
Well, that yeah, see, I think when
he
I...
He loves the Rangers.
When I kind of rank the leaders of the free world, how many games they go to is kind of low. On.
Well, Putin likes hockey.
Yeah, he also likes killing people.
I didn't say that.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank
he
you
got real
much.
Close to 1,000 point, and this 1,000th point, I think it should be right that he gets it done in Washington in front of our own fans.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by...